with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. I never get tired of that rap, man. You cut that thing years ago, but you know what? It's just kind of like comfortable for me. When I hear that, I know we're here.
That's funny because I'm kind of sick of it.
All right, well, get going on a new one then, because I'm not the singer in this group.
I don't know if I can hit that one again.
Right, yeah.
That was just Anyway.
Right. So we've been talking steak all day. We're going to keep talking steak, but go ahead, Bob.
The Full Belly Deli.
Right.
Skirt the truth, Choppy. Skirt the truth.
Right.
Skirt steak, man. It's fortunately now it's appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was growing up, you didn't know anybody that did skirt steak. Now, we had a bunch of Mexicans come into town to pick strawberries all the time, and they knew what it was, but you know they weren't inviting us over to eat, so we never saw it.
Right.
Besides, we never got steak anyway.
Right.
Truth is, they probably didn't either.
So, well, it has a lot of uses in Mexican cooking.
It was a junk piece of meat forever, like brisket.
So where's it at? Where do we get it from?
Down around the belly.
Right. And it's the skirt below the ribs,
yep.
Right? And between the ribs and the hide, basically. Yeah, almost like the bacon of a beef.
When you field dress your deer, you're generally seeing that and very often probably cutting it off.
Right.
With the hide.
Right.
But you could save it.
So talking about the skirt steak then, what do you feel the flavor is of that?
Well, I'm huge on Mexican cooking, right?
Right. Spices.
So
yep.
I love all things Mexico when it comes to spices, styles, cooking. Not so much cartels.
Right.
But I talk about it all the time, and you always kind of look puzzled, but there's a blend that's in the market called Tajin, T-A-J-I-N, and it brings me to my happy spot on spices.
Right.
It's all in one. I don't have to invent it. Somebody already did. I can buy it cheap. The big bottle is like $9, and you can get it at your favorite butcher shop or supermarket. If they know what they're doing, they'll have it. Go to a Mexican market like Supermercado or something like that if you can't find it at your store. But let's face it, Mexican influence in our foods is very, very strong and growing. So all the grocers have had to step up their game, and you see more and more of the international stuff in certain stores.
Sure.
And so I'm going to probably – my daughter Emily got me into marinating in orange juice and a blend of, like, parsley, but I go with
the orange juice is acidic.
It's a bit acidic.
It's got citric acid in it, right, from the citrus and the orange. But it also imparts a great flavor, so it's going to act as a tenderizer.
It's sweet.
And it's going to act and put a flavor profile on that.
Uh-huh.
And usually sweet and beef don't necessarily go together, but the orange in there I feel really complements and highlights the flavor of that skirt steak.
You don't put sugar on your brisket when you do it?
I don't. Do sugar on brisket generally, but
what do you put on your? How do you season your brisket? What do you use? Billy bones?
Yeah,
it's got sugar.
Yeah, well, so, not a lot.
Sugar.
Not a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, anyway, but I don't put sugar on.
I'm just calling you out on your sweetened beef.
You're buying seasonings that someone else has perfected rather than me trying to create my own.
So I just simply wanted to point out that the sweet on beef is actually really, really good, and orange juice. I think. When we did Olivia's graduation party, Emily marinated a bunch of butts and I smoked them. And we have the recipe on thegrillingguys.com. And it's, I can't think of the, I want to say churrasco, but it's not. I'll think of it later after the show's over.
But miracle of editing.
You can look it up. Just say, what the heck was he talking about? It'll pop up.
Right. Yeah.
But it's basically parsley, garlic, orange juice. It's real simple, and maybe a touch of cumin and some sea salt and
so this is
some sort of a pepper, and it's a marinade. And so I'm going to do that with skirt steak. Same recipe.
Okay. Leave it in there a couple hours?
Yeah, I would. I'd go like overnight.
Okay. And then you're going to pull it out, let that come to room temperature
always,
too?
Yep. Always. Every steak. And here's the thing about bringing it up to room temp. There's a couple of reasons, and I'm sure you all know this, but one thing is you don't want to have to fight the temperature on the grill.
Right.
Number two, you want that meat to hit the grill and cook as evenly as possible. So if it's really, really cold, your outside's going to get done at a faster rate than it'll cook through the center. So you'll have to rest it more and give it a little heat while it's resting. No, bring it up to room temp. Now the meat is softer. I asked you if you brought your aged beef up to room temp because you said it was kind of hard. If you throw a steak on from the fridge, it's going to be kind of hard. You're going to have a tough time telling how well done that thing is or is not by touching it because it stays firm and it's not cooking in the middle fast enough. So you're charring the outside a little more than maybe you want.
Right. And your outside quarter inch to half inch is going to be well done to get your center at medium rare like we like it.
Yep.
And so I'd rather just have a little skin of char on the outside rather than that being that thick.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this skirt steak, then you get it grilled up and you're – are you going to grill that to what temperature?
Medium rare, always.
Always.
And it's real thin, so you probably can't even put your thermoprobe in it. You just got to kind of feel that one. Maybe cut a piece off for the chef.
Typically, those are cut on the bias.
Always.
Yep, right. Yep. And that just
double bias.
Right.
Double bias, because you're going to have a lot of strands, kind of like a brisket again. It's got that angular strand going on. So put your blade against it crosswise and then bevel it down at a 45. And when you slice very thinly those pieces out, it's going to lay down on the platter beautiful, and it's going to be just like the next thing I want to talk about, and that is côte de bœuf. I was watching a cooking show, and Puck?
Wolfgang
Puck was teaching this guy. It's a Netflix special, and I can't think of the name of it, but he's got this
Côte de Bœuf?
No, he's got this little food truck in the beginning of the thing, you know, and it's a marvelous show. And I think the guy's an actor. I've watched it many
times. He's not a paid professional?
I've watched it
just
so many
acting
times.
Acting like a chef on TV?
I should know what his name is, John. Anyway, so Wolfgang Puck is teaching him how to do steaks properly. And this guy's actually been to culinary school. So he might be a half-ass chef. I don't know.
Right.
But it's a great show. And he does this, these giant cowboy steaks or giant rib steaks. And he's,
with the rib in it still.
Yes, with the rib in it.
And tomahawk sometimes.
It looks like
called.
A tomahawk, but he left all the meat on the rib. So he didn't strip that down. So he's basically bringing that up for 3 hours on the counter, puts his seasoning and oil on right before he throws it on. He cooked his on a griddle. Right, giant kitchen griddle. I like in a situation like that, I would do a lot of sea salt and a lot of cracked pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go heavy on it, and then I'm going to sear the heck out of it, and then I'm going to bring it over to a cooler heat area to finish cooking. But then he gets done, and he takes the steak off the bone, and he turns it sideways, cuts the grizzle off the outside, and then he does that same bevel, cuts it on a bevel, lays it on a platter, and then he lays that big, beautiful bone at the top of the platter. It's a great, and then lays a whole twig of thyme on top of it, which he actually deep fried in butter for just a couple seconds, and then he whipped the steak with it when he was done. It was
kind
cool.
Kind of brush your steak with
your
thyme.
It was
very
cool,
huh?
Yeah, it was like sadistic, but
wow.
I got hungry.
Yeah.
So
oh, that sounds
that's
good.
That's called Côte de Bœuf.
Cool presentation.
Yes.
Well, coming up next, we got other kinds of steaks that might not be from a cow. You're going to want to stick with us and check this out. We'll be back.
I can go out every night of the week. Can go home.